The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
If you're someone who lives in an area where it's so expensive to buy real estate and you feel like it's impossible, then I have something for you. I just released a free guide that's going to give you the 8 steps you need to take to buy your first out-of-state property. I've bought several properties out of state, living in California, investing in Ohio, and you can do the same. It's just a matter of having the right information. So click the link in the description of this episode to get your free guide today.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. And today's spotlight features episode 158 with Mark Jones II. And in this episode, he talks about how he finds the diamonds in the rough, even in the midst of a booming real estate market in somewhere like California. But we know Mark is all about the cash flow. So he's going to talk about what that process is like and how he chooses which properties will generate the most cash flow. So let's get into episode 158, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight, Mark Jones II. Let's get into it.
When you visited, what were you looking for? Were you trying to get a feel, or were you like a checklist? Man. Like, I want to see how this looks, this neighborhood. Like, walk us through that.
Honestly, man, and like I said, I'm keeping it real with you. I'm simple, man. I'm a simple kind of guy. Yeah. I like to go on my gut. There's people who have all these charts and all these rules and all these checklists, and I need to do this, I need to do that. I'm like, all right, is the market stable? Do the tenants pay on time? Is there rent growth coming in? Are there jobs? Are there jobs and are there a diverse set of jobs? Mm-hmm. But when I first went out there, bro, I got a 9-unit under contract. So I went to the southwestern side. It's kind of like southeastern side, actually. I forgot what it was called, actually. But it was the southern part of Pittsburgh to see a 9-unit that I got under contract. It was a 6-unit building and a triplex. The triplex was flipped and the 6-unit was in like horrible condition. But I went out there to get a feel for the neighborhood, bro. So I walked the streets in the neighborhood. Another thing I didn't know was there's so many black people in Pittsburgh. Like, most of my tenants are black. Like, some white, I have like white tenants too, but most of my tenants are black and white. But, I just walked the neighborhoods, man. I went to the soul food restaurant. I went into the Dollar Tree. I asked questions. I saw how people kind of like approached me or looked at me and treated me and stuff. I went to the restaurants just to get a feel, man, for the neighborhood. Checked it out at night, the nighttime scene. And so I was looking for like safety, comfort, growth, right? Mm-hmm. So when I went out there in the southern part, there was a larger gay population, LGBTQ population, and they were moving to the southern part of Pittsburgh and gentrifying it. And so starting like coffee shops, and I was like having conversations with them, and the brothers have like, you know, colored nails and all that. And I kind of picked up on everything, and the trans flag and the LGBTQ flag and the rainbow flag and all that. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I'm just paying attention, and they're like, they're moving here and they're coming and spreading from this gentrified kind of area where the University of Pittsburgh students kick it. Mm-hmm. They're south of that and expanding. So I said, okay, that's growth. But I couldn't find that online, bro.
Yeah,
that's the difference, is going there and hitting the concrete and seeing what's really happening here. You know what I mean? And I went and also saw that the neighborhoods were too hood by that 9-unit. It was a little too hood for me.
Yeah.
So it was a huge cop presence. People drinking 40 ounces with wife beaters on. I said, you know what? This is the area I want to invest in, right? The gentrification is happening, but not in the speed in the way that I like it. So when I went again, when I got the 11-unit portfolio under contract, actually, I didn't wait till I went again. I backed out of that 9-unit deal because I drove the portfolio deal. So it's like in different neighborhoods because it's a portfolio of four properties. Man, it was just blue collar. It was people from Sweden, like random people from Norway. Yeah. You know what I mean? Norwegian people. And they just own homes there, but they're just humble workers. And he's just like walking down the street. I'm like, hey, where are you going? You know, my name's Mark. I'm thinking about investing up here. He's like, I'm walking to the library. It's like a Saturday. I'm like, you going to the library? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So that's a sign. Like, that's a beautiful thing. The dude's just walking to the library. And he's a humble guy. He's not like rich or wealthy. He's just a working guy that wants to go read at the library. You know what I mean? And so it wasn't people drinking 40 ounces. It was close to the waterfront. Even the other properties from my apartment building is 6-unit. So people going to the laundromat, washing their clothes on a Saturday. They're just living life, bro.
Yeah.
Even though it's a humble blue collar life, it's just a simple life. So that was a lot better, man. It wasn't people playing craps or drinking alcohol on the street.
Yeah.
So I was looking for stuff like that, man. Yeah. Nothing fancy. I didn't have any Excel sheets. I did have Excel sheets for like the numbers, like pro forma, but not like looking at jobs and assessing stuff. I'm a people person, so I just walked in and started talking to people at the different stores and stuff like that.
I hear you regarding like getting the feel. Like when I started investing, I did the same thing. Like I went out and visited, just kind of drove around, like
in Ohio, right?
Development, just like just kind of get a feel, to your point too, just kind of see what's going on, see what the deal is. And you'd be surprised, like if you're able to visit your out-of-state market where you're trying to invest in, spend a couple of days there, it could show you a lot. You know, it could show you a lot. And, you know, I mean, not necessarily have to keep going back, but that first time usually could, you know, give you a feel of things. So you mentioned, so, you know, it's like your first out-of-state investment was a portfolio. You usually might see somebody get like a duplex or a single family. Why did you decide to go with the 11 units versus like getting a single family home or getting like a duplex or starting small? What made you want to go big?
I mean, the thing, man, is, you know, I teach people to buy multifamily with my brand Living Rent Free. You get the more the merrier, right? So with the income, you multiply with the units, number of units, you multiply your income. With the number of doors, you multiply your cash flow. It's more stability. So if one tenant's not paying, you still have four other tenants, five other tenants, three other tenants that can pay. You say that, some people say, okay, the maintenance increases, but it's underneath one roof, right? And so you're just maintaining that existing property. The real reason, bro, why I went big, if I'm just being honest, like I said, keep it 100, is I have a vision of scaling and raising money on a large scale, buying apartment buildings and helping passive investors make money. And so I said, okay, let me put up my own dough to do the experiment and show I have what it takes to buy apartment buildings and scale at that level and be successful at that level. And the other thing I want to say is commercial properties are really important in their distinction, and they're different from like smaller single family and how they're valued. Single families are valued based on residential comps in the area. You know this, but residential comps in the area and residential sales. Commercial buildings, specifically multifamily, are valued based on the net operating income and the cap rate, right? So if you can improve the net operating income or the lower the operating expenses, raise the rents, improve the value, you can actually create equity out of thin air. Mm-hmm. And when I say equity out of thin air, depending on the value of the property, you could create anywhere between $100,000, $500,000, $700,000 in value, because there's value like a business. If your business is making more cash flow, people are going to want to pay more, right? It's a multiple of the cash flow. So now I can control the value of the property. I don't have, it's not based on what other apartment owners are selling. It's based on how well I'm operating my property and running it. So those are some of the reasons, man. And you could cash out, refinance, sell the property at a profit. And so there's like way more depreciation and tax benefits you can do, cost segregation studies. There's a lot of stuff that you can do to make money and save money with multifamily. So that's why I went big, man. Go hard or go home. So that's how I had to do it, bro.
Definitely. So commercial is above 4 units, right?
Five units plus is commercial. Yes, sir.
Okay. And then can you explain cap rate and net operating income?
Yeah. So NOI is net operating income. So when you're analyzing a property, it's like you start off with the gross revenue and then you subtract all the expenses. And this is before debt service. Mm-hmm. So cash flow is after debt service. So say you start off with the gross rents of $10,000. You subtract for like vacancy, your vacancy factor. You subtract for expenses, repairs, maintenance, insurance, utilities, and you get down to the net operating income. So you say you get down to $5,000 a month. Typically, your expenses are like 50% of the gross revenue, right? So that's called the net operating income. And cap rate is a little bit, it's kind of difficult to like explain. It's like it's like a, I don't want to say amoebous concept, but it's like a nebulous concept. It's like strange, but it's a way of valuing an asset. So what you do is you take the net operating income, say it's $100,000, and you divide that by the value of the property. Mm-hmm. And so say the property is $1 million, and the net operating income is $100,000. The cap rate is 10%. But what happens is that the reason why I say it's amoebous and it's kind of nebulous and stuff is because the cap rate is produced by how frequent these type of sales are done in the market. So what I mean to say is, say there's a few sales of apartment buildings at $1 million. Some of them have a net operating income of $90,000 a year. Some of them have $95,000. Some of them have $100,000. So if you divide 90 over 100, that's 9% cap rate. If you 90 over a million, that's 9% cap rate. If you do 100 over a million, that's 10% cap rate. So what happens is over time, you get an average cap rate for the market. So say there's 100 sales in a year, you get an average of, okay, in this area, the cap rate is this number. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that in nicer neighborhoods like Beverly Hills, west side of LA, Manhattan, you get lower operating net operating income and higher values. So less cash flow, but you have it costs more because of the stability of the tenant base.
Right.
So it's coveted. They're called Class A markets. So in Class A markets, you'll see cap rates of 4% cap rate of 4. It's called 4% or 4. But or 3.5. And what that means is for $1 million, it sounds crazy, but for you spend $1 million and you get net operating income of $45,000. Per million, mm-hmm. or 30,000 per million. And people are like, what? That sounds like, that's crazy. It's nothing.
Yeah.
But you have Whole Foods tenants. You have like a bulletproof. It's like if you could buy a property, you know, somewhere in Santa Monica, or somewhere in Beverly Hills. It's like a legacy asset.
Yeah.
You know, you're bulletproof. You don't have to worry about, this is where the Kardashians and people live. This is where, you know, Beyonce and them want to live. This is where Bel Air, you know what I mean? This is the top of the market. And so, the I guess blue collar workers or blue collar markets, Class C, are like 8 cap, 9 cap, and then going up to 10 cap is starting to where you're getting towards like Class D markets, and you get more cash flow, but you have riskier tenant base.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.